You know, it's amazing how God works. We have been dealing with currents of the kingdom and how that in the river of God there are many currents, and I've been trying my best to get into what I originally intended of going into the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because those are currents within the river of God. But God kept on talking this week, and I've not said a word to Mary, about how that He wants to deal with currents that are seldom talked about or properly understood. Last week we got into the currents of prosperity, and that so many Christians miss it because they don't have the Hebraic understanding. If you write a check and you say, "There, God, I've paid my dues," you don't get nothing. It's an honor to Him. It's an honor. When I get everything that I do, whether it's me giving to the Lord, whatever, if it's an honor to Him, He can receive that, and it causes an open window in heaven. And I think it's appropriate this week that God began to speak with me about the watchman. How many know that, you know, within here in several weeks we're going to be going into the Feast of Trumpets? Trumpets is a time that heaven begins to speak. If there was ever a time of year that you were going to hear from God, it's going to be during the Feast of Trumpets. But one of the things that God began showing me this week as I began to pray and meditate and just really try to zone in on what God was sharing, He showed me the great wall, like, you know, how the wall around Jerusalem, how there'd be a great wall, and you would have sentries. And all the sentry spots are empty in the body of Christ. And one of the problems of that is we have had the idea that unless you were a prophet, you couldn't be a sentry. That's wrong. Yes, sometimes prophets went up there, we'll find here in a little bit. But it was the duty of every man that lived within the city to rotate guard duty. And there is an anointing, there is a current of God that God wants to release in this day and this hour to reestablish watchmen on the wall of the body of Christ. If there was ever a time that we needed to have watchmen over our families, over our communities, over our congregations, over our states, and over our nations, it is now more than ever before. Darkness is trying to overtake the earth. And if we don't have watchmen not only to see what the enemy's doing, but to know what God is doing, we're going to be in trouble, aren't we? But we have never been taught. We have been taught, you know, it's the elect crazy few. When you think of a watchman, most of the body of Christ, if you move in the prophetic, and it's not "Thou shalt be blessed, thou shalt be blessed, thou shalt be blessed," they think you're about a half bubble off. And the truth of the matter is, those that are prophetic are standing up straight. It's the rest of the body that's half a bubble or two off. You know, if everybody's tilted over this way and you stand up straight, what are you going to look like? Years ago, back when I was really big in counseling, I had a friend that he worked for a while in a psych ward at a hospital. That was part of what he was doing for his supervision. And he said, "I had to quit." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "After a while, you were getting confused on who needed help and who didn't. You're beginning to wonder which one of us be crazy, me or you." Because he said you get into that environment to where normal is so far out the window that you begin to lose what normal is. And if you walk into that place being normal, you're the one that's weird. And he goes, "It got to the place when I had patients come up to me and said, 'Boy, what's wrong with you? You really acting squirrely today.'" And he's going, "I am." He said, "Okay, this is long enough." And in the body of Christ, because we have not had watchmen that were really guarding over things, we've had a lot of things creep into churches that didn't need to be there. We've had a lot of things creep into communities. And we've had a lot of things creep into the homes. Look at the way that we've done church. We make the pastor the guardian of every household, don't we? In traditional church, the pastor is the guardian over, "This is my flock." See, it makes them want to pound on the walls whenever you start talking about this. No, shut up. But and when we think Hebraically, the man in the household is the shepherd of that household. He is an under-shepherd under the local shepherd, and that shepherd is to train him, to empower him, and to release him to do what he needs to do to keep his family safe. Because in every family, the highest authority is the man, not the pastor. You can run the devil out of your house a whole lot quicker than I can. And what I want to do is to give you the tools. And so this watchman anointing is actually available to everyone. Mom and dad, you're watchmen over your household. You control the gates of what come into your house and what you throw out of your house. And we have bought the lie that whatever comes in is fine. Well, how many know that's not fine? You have the right to say, you're allowed in my house, you're not allowed in my house. That's part of being a watchman. In the same way, in a congregation, we can say, this is allowed in our congregation, this is not allowed in our congregation. That's what Jesus was talking about, binding and loosing. To be effective in binding and loosing, you have to be a watchman because you got to know what's going on. You can't stick your head in the sand and be an ostrich and be a watchman. And that is the basic American mentality, is that we stick our heads in the sand and we want someone else to watch. Well, what happens if you don't have your back? Some of the people that we've elected as watchmen aren't necessarily very good watchmen. They're watching their own back, not your back. In fact, the Scripture tells us the only one who's ever to watch your back is God. That if I fast and I seek Him, He becomes my rear guard. God's got my back. But we have advocated so much. We've let it go so much that the wall of God has been abandoned. And God, there's this new current that God's wanting to release back in the body. He's wanting to open our eyes so that we can begin to see, that we can begin to understand, so that we can be proper guardians over our households, our communities, our congregations, our cities, our state. And my Lord, we need it over this nation. I tell you what, I had Dr. Marianne Brown called the other day, and she says, what do you think about this election? I said, it's interesting. And she said, all the prophets are split down the middle. They can't make up their minds. Well, you know, if that be the case, then you have too many prophets that are listening to themselves rather than God, or is America sitting on a fence post right now? You know, not enough watchmen, not enough things going on. If you have your Bibles today, I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 33. And this is simply going to be some straight talk, because God wants to loose an anointing for us to be able to move the way that we need to move as watchmen. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of my people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land, take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. Now notice God didn't say, I make you a watchman. That's what we all wanted to say. But the reality is, the people could go to any man who was found faithful and say, you can be a watchman, because there is an anointing on men to be watchmen that we have never used. I mean, this is so rusty and so squeaky that you have to let that thing sit in WD-40 for a while to even get it to move again. That's how long it's been since we have moved this. But they said, you can elect any faithful man from your territory to be a watchman. Well, that goes right out the window. Well, I'm not a prophet, therefore I can't be a watchman. Now, I didn't sneak this in your Bible. This was right here, black and white, the whole time. That every one of us, and I think, and say, well, how come right now, you know, my wife's prophetic. I mean, she knows things a lot of times before I know things. Well, that's why I got to play catch up sometime and get the rest knocked off of
off my watchman anointing. But I think right now what God is trying to do is to re-empower the men, because the women have gone as far as they can go until the men catch up and become the head again.
Amen.
It's like God will only allow a woman to go two rungs ahead of the men, and the men have got to get up above the woman, and then when He does, He reaches up and pulls her up. Mm-hmm. So we have women getting aggravated because they can't go any higher. They have reached their glass ceiling, if you will. They keep on talking about the glass ceiling. That's a whole other ball of wax. I'm looking for the ceiling that's clouds. When I come up through them clouds, I just kind of go on into glory. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. But in so many areas of the church, the women have gotten as high as they can get. Now, they can hoop and they can holler. They can call themselves all kinds of different titles. But they have gotten as high as they can get until the men step up to the plate and increase and grow higher to make a higher level, because the woman was always created to come up beside the man. She was never to be beneath him. She was never to be above him. She's supposed to be at arm's length so that He can put His arm around her to protect her. But you can't protect her if she's 50 feet ahead of you. Amen? Men are supposed to be the trailblazers. And right now, the women, although they are achieving and doing powerful things, if you really pulled a lot of it back, they are past the point of frustration. Because the men need to be the trailblazers, not the women. And God said in this area, He is going to loosen anointing for the men to begin to move prophetically and be watchmen, maybe like in no other generation before us, because of what is ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And that He wants to take the whole body on. And to do that, He's got to strengthen the men to empower the women. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that as clear as mud?
That's good.
And some people are missing it. Because this is not in my notes, but I get calls from all over the country, okay? And some people are picking up on it, but they're going back to old ways of doing it. And so instead of saying, okay, the woman's up here, and now I've got to get up here, which is really a long distance for me, they're grabbing the women, they're pulling them by the leg and saying, submit, get down, get down, get down, get down, get down, get down below me. How about you get up off your blessed assurance and get above her? You don't go up in God by suppressing or pushing down someone else. And I'm hearing that there are pastors that are missing it, and that they're saying the men are supposed to rise up, but the men aren't rising up. They're pulling the women down below them instead of rising up to where they're supposed to be. And can you imagine a woman who is frustrated because she knows she can't get any higher in God until the men get up higher, and the men's reaction is to pull her down below where they are? And we call that progress. Oh, I'm just beating the tar out of myself this morning. It's okay. It feels good. But God is wanting to release within the men an anointing that we are going to start making accelerated growth spiritually. That word is going to come alive. Prayer is going to come alive in your life like never before. And you're going to start seeing things that you never saw before, because you're the one who is supposed to be the watchman over your household and over your communities. Now, with that established, now let's go on and read the rest of here in Ezekiel. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own hands. But he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning, then his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hands. So you, son of man, have I made a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that it's the man's job. There is an anointing God's wanting to release. that the only way that you're going to get it is you're going to have to start establishing the throne of God in your household. And you're going to have to become an intercessor. Primarily in the church, we have said that that intercession was primarily a woman's job. Haven't we? That has been the attitude of the body of Christ for centuries. That's women's work. Well, how come every time I see an intercessor in the Word of God, it's a man? We have believed the lie of the devil. We have taken our own culture and put it into the Word and made the Word say what our culture says instead of letting the Word of God change our culture so that we can move on in God. And for a man, what I have found is intercession is not near as long as a woman's. Can I get real this morning about this? It's not as long as a woman's. Women were built for relationship. Men were built for doing. So when I do relationship, when I do intercession, I get her done. I can move in a greater level of authority than my wife can. That's one of the reasons my wife loves it so much when I pray, because what takes her an hour to 2 hours to do takes me 15 minutes in prayer. She can pray and she can pray and she can pray and she can pray and she can pray, and finally the devil gets tired of listening to it and leaves after about an hour or so. I take a club, pop him in the head a couple of times, and I say, get now, and he's gone. It takes 5 minutes. And she's thinking, thank God, why didn't you do that 2 hours ago? So when I go into intercession, she goes into intercession, and there's intercession, but there's also this relationship factor that she's built for, because women were created to have relationship with men, and they're relationship oriented. And so while she's intercessing, she's fellowshipping. Because she has all this stuff she wants to talk to about God, God with, and all this wonderful stuff. And God understands that, and God appreciates that. God loves that. It's like we're Mary and Martha. There for a little bit, Martha kind of had the wrong idea, and she became mad for a minute because she was too busy doing for sandwiches that Jesus never asked for. Mary just sat there, I just have a relationship with the Lord. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, guys said, let me hunt a bear. Let me really impress the Lord. Bring a bear up here and let the women cook it, because it's something He can do. So God understands that, and God gives greater leeway for that. But when a man does it, God allows us to have compressed time because He knows the way that we are. I'm here. I'm watching. Here's what's going on. Boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom. I take my authority. Slap, 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 slap. And we can do what in 20 minutes, what a woman may take 2 hours to do simply because of our temperament and the way that God designed us. And the thing is, then when we look at the woman and we say, well, I feel bad that I didn't spend 2 hours. You're not made that way. You can get her done 20 minutes. But what happens if the devil steals your 20 minutes because he makes you feel bad because you're not taking 2 hours? Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Well, Lord, it's only 15 minutes. And so the devil says, well, if you can't give an hour, just don't do it. You go in there, you intercede, you see what God wants to show you. The way that I'm wired, guys, and each one of us are different, the way that I'm wired, if I stay 2 hours in the presence of God, I would have to live to 970 to get it all done. 20 minutes on a treadmill. It took me 16 weeks to teach what He taught me. Because men are wired different than women. So I go and I stand my watch and I intercede whatever the Holy Spirit brings up. And when I'm done, a man says, got her done. Now time for the next task. Great, you got that one done. But if you don't do it, it will never get done. Am I making sense? Because I'm teaching intercession man style. You don't have to roll on the floor for 20 minutes and randai shandai. You can say, God, here's this need. Now, whatever I need to do, you're going to show it to me, Father, and move in this situation. And that may be the extent of the intercession, but if it's truthful and if it's from your heart, hell fears it with all of its heart. Because when a man connects, it's forceful, it's to the point, and it works. So he tries to hit you with discouragement and say, well, let the woman do that. Well, you know what? You pave the way, you clear the road, then she can run all up and down that road all day long if she wants to. Well, you go do something else. That's her deal. She can walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord. You've already got your marching orders. Because for guys, God will tell you to do stuff. Because you are, you know, women are human beings, men are human doings. Because you were created to guard and to watch over the garden and to make it produce. We don't know what Eve did during the day. She could have been the original tree hugger. Having a relationship with everything, the flowers, and waiting for Adam to get back, you know. We don't know. But when we go into that, be a man in your intercession and talk to God like a man, He understands. And He understands if He can get you moving in your authority, it's not going to take 20, 40, 60 minutes, 90 minutes to get it done. Once you get your heart activated, it will simply take, sometimes, you know, Jesus was a man, so here's how He stilled a storm. He didn't walk back and forth for 90 minutes going, He said, peace be still. That was the end of it. That's a man's authority. And so there are times that if I'm a watchman, my wife's pacing back and forth and praying and doing all this, and I go, bam! You know, it's like when you take out a shotgun, pull the trigger once, that should be it, you know. That's the way God wants us to move. And I can't intercede like a woman, and a woman can't move in authority like a man. But both of those function properly as we begin to move with God together. But as we do this, guys, God is going to begin loosing and He's going to begin talking to you about your family. Now, in the scenario that I just talked about, He showed you what the enemy was doing. Now, how many know, my God, that's important. You need to know where the enemy is sneaking in. You need to know where the enemy is trying to come against your family, against your health, against your finances. You need to see his troop advancing on your point so that you can begin taking your authority, that you can sound the alarm. You have the right to call your family to prayer. It's okay. Woman, we need to pray. I'm going to let you do your two-hour thing. I'm going to do my five-minute thing, and then I may wait 10 or 15 minutes and do another five-minute thing. But I see what the enemy is doing, and so now it's time to activate the troops. So understanding what the enemy is doing is the first half of a watchman. Now let's look at the second half. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk is an itty-bitty book. It's like some towns, if you blink, you miss it when you go by. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will give an answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he that may run with it who reads it. What we miss so many times, we use this scripture to teach on hearing from God. But what we miss was the place that the prophet went was his guard post on the watchman's wall. That not only was the duty of a watchman as he's watching, he'd see the bad guys coming so he could sound the alarm, but he also could see when messengers would come from the king with messages for the town, and so then he could let the message in. When we go and we have an anointing that God is going to begin speaking to you, you not only, it's one thing to see what the devil's doing, it's another thing to hear from God on how to overcome what the devil's doing and understand what the king is going to do to circumvent it and establish his kingdom. And so God is wanting to begin to release an anointing on men to begin hearing God clearer than ever before. And just like, and one of the things I have found out about God, that God talks to me the same way I talk to Him, as a man. You see, when He talks to Mary, He may talk to her for an hour, 2 hours. He's relationship oriented with her. When He talks to me, He's to the point. He says, this is what's going on. This is what you need to do. Do this, do this, do this, do this, pray this, and here's what I'm wanting to do. Now step in that curtain, flow with it. Now for a man, can I be real truthful? I don't need God to talk to me for an hour. It would kill me because I couldn't do it all. I really couldn't. Sometimes I do that on purpose. I mix in praise and worship with it and some other things, and I let Him talk, and it's like, okay, my list is getting full, Lord. I know what You're doing. I know what I need to do. I know some things that are going on. And if the Word promises that God will never give you any more than you can bear, that also means He's never going to give you any more than you can do. And what I have learned, why it is so important to daily go up on that wall, is that God will give you step one. One of the things that we learn in productivity, you guys have ever went through that, you come up with a to-do, you come up with your first action toward getting it done. And once you do that first action, you go back and say, okay, now what's the second action? What's the third action? What's the fourth action? Now, if you get real good at that, you can do something called project management, and you can try to map them all out. But any plan never, ever lives longer than its first encounter to the enemy. And so what God does, God gives you what He says, here's the overall view of what I want to do. Here's step one. You go and you do it. Most guys stop right there. This is where we mess up, guys. You got to go back the next day and get step two. You got to go back the next day and get step three. You got to go back the next day and get step four. Because He may have a 500 step plan for you to do. If you saw all of it, it would overwhelm you. Can you, most of us can't remember what our wife tells us to get at the store when we leave toward the store. So how are we going to remember when God gives us, here are the 500 steps I want you to do the next year and a half? So God knows the way that men are, and so He gives you one step. Be faithful in that one step, and when you go into prayer in your tower the next day to be a watchman, God will give you the next thing that you need to do. You don't need to understand it all. That's Greco-Roman. I'm not going to do it until I understand it. Hebraically, it is, I will hear and I will do. I will hear and I will do. And like one part it says, I will do and I will hear. What does that mean? That you're not going to understand it until you get it done. Because God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So He gives it to us in little tidbits because He's adjusting us one step at a time. Men are not made for radical change. A woman will radically change herself for a relationship. A man won't. Now, I know this is a surprise to every female on the planet. I married him, and once we get married, I'm going to change him. You and what army? Come on now. You'll change all this stuff, and you do all this stuff because you want to have a relationship, and that man is like the Rock of Gibraltar, twisted in the wrong way. The only way to get him to change, the Bible says God teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going to take the land little by little. You know why? It's because of all the men. But in a sense, that's good, because once God takes you step by step and adjustment by adjustment, it's going to be a long time process for the devil to get you out of that. If it takes God a long time to get you in, it's going to take the devil a long time to get you out. But if you only take one step in, it only takes the devil one step to get you out. But if every day if you go and you say, God, I want to hear from you because I need to know what my step is today. If you're 1,000 steps in, it's going to take 1,000 steps to get you out. If in the midst of that you don't hear or take another step with God. So the more that we hear and the more that we allow God to do little adjustments in us and make them solid within us, the harder it's going to be for the devil to get us off a track. That's the whole purpose for men of meditating Torah and meditating in the Word of God, is God to give us those constant little tweaks and adjustments to things. You say, I don't believe that about men. What do men constantly do with a stereo, with a TV, with a car, anything? Constant tweaks and tune-ups and adjustments and just a little bit more. Just, man, let's turn this dial over. This, Where do you think you got that from? You're constantly fine-tuning everything, and then you wonder why God says, Micah, this little. Okay, you got that down. It sounded better. That's the way God works with us. But you never get there until you get it and say, okay, I'm going to enter into this watchman anointing and let God start working on me, and I'm going to hear from Him. I'm going to see what the enemy's doing. I'm going to see what God's doing, because the third level is when there is a war. And how many know we're in the middle of a spiritual war right now? A watchman can look out into the field and see the movement of the enemy's troops and the movement of the king's troops. That is invaluable. Because then you do you really know what your household needs to do for this next year? Do you really know? What's amazing is Patrick's household will be different than Micah's household. There are different things going on. Right now, he's buying a house. Right now, he's suffering through a little rinky-dink rental house that God is going to promote him out of eventually. And so maybe next year, Mike is going to be where you are. So you can't look at Mike and say, well, that's what Mike is doing. That's what I'm going to do. It doesn't work that way. That's why God has to speak to you. Now, I can give an overview of this is where I feel like God is taking the body and taking this community. But that is, you're a subgroup underneath that. That have your own little tweaks and your own little adjustments and your own relationships. And women, if God is going to improve your man's relationship with you, how's it going to be? Little tweaks here and there. Don't look for vast, mind-blowing, sweeping change. That won't happen with a man. But here's the good news. When God gets him where he needs to be, it's going to be all, the devil's not going to sweep him back the other way. It's going to be a lot of hard work. I think I'm about trying to. I think I'm doing more on helping men and women understand themselves more than I am maybe the message. But we've got to understand that the way God talks to Patty is the difference than the way God's going to talk to Patrick. Different purposes. Different time frames. But the thing is, what we got to do, men, is we got to be faithful. We got to be faithful. God is loosing and anointing. And one of the prophetic words we had here this morning is He was here to help you overcome the biggest problem you have from being that watchman. What's your biggest problem? What's your biggest problem? I'm not talking about, well, you know, it'd be nice to have $1 million. Well, first of all, the IRS will show up and take half. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's be real. What's your real problem? It's not money. That's a symptom. What's your real problem? What are some of the real things that are stopping you from being and doing what God has called you to be? Jesus is here this morning, and all He said is, just ask me and I'll do it. But you got to get real. Got to get real. Your cry way, maybe, Lord, please start tweaking. Please start adjusting my dials and start tweaking me that I can flow. Because as I begin to be moved by God, and Mary begins to have relationship with me, it helps her relationship with God if I'm in the right place. It makes it easier on her. And then it sets her at ease. She gets worried, and every woman, if truth be known, is this way. If she sees something before I see it, she gets worried. First thing is, why aren't you seeing it, Mike? What's wrong with you? We're going down. Oh, no, you don't see it. It's a whole lot better thing if I say, honey, I think this is what's going on. She says, well, that guy's been talking to me about that all week. I've been waiting for you to say something. Then, because she was created to be under my arm. Not suppressed by it, but there's a level of protection there. If I see it, I can go like this. It's not her slapping me saying, quick, put your arm around me. Can you see the difference? And so as God adjusts and God shares, share it with your wife. And she's saying, well, you know, God's been dealing with me about the exact same thing. That's also confirmation to you about what God's doing. She needs to be your first confirmer. There's been a few times, you say, I've been waiting a long time for you to say you saw that. Why? I got so busy I forgot to go up on the watchtower. I got so busy doing ministry that I forgot to go and talk to the one who sent me to do ministry the way that I should. You have to have a balance. If you program yourself every day, first thing, to go and go to the watchtower and find out what's going on. Lord, what's going on? What do I need to do? What do I need to pray? And do your 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. The rest of your day is then orchestrated by the King fine-tuning you and giving you instructions for that day. If you don't do that, you're trying to live off of yesterday's manna. And then we wonder why it turns out so wormy sometimes. Sometimes our days don't go the way that they should. I'm finding out I can't live without it. Because if I don't do it, I might as well forget the rest of the day. I might as well forget it. Just pack up my briefcase and go on home because nothing's going to work out. Nothing's going to fall into place the way that it should if I don't do that first thing in the morning. That's why I like coming up here and getting here before anybody else does. Just me, a cup of coffee, and God. What a combination. Get my spiritual caffeine and my physical caffeine all at the same time. And just enjoy the quiet. To have that sanctified place, a sanctified time, and being a sanctified person. To get it. You see, all that I taught you before was actually me coming in from the back door and teaching you that if you do that, you become a watchman. And what's amazing that I'm getting response to everyone who consistently does that, they're seeing God begin to bless and begin to radically change things around them. But the power word here is consistency. Every day. Every day. It may be 5 minutes this morning, half hour tomorrow morning, 15 minutes the next morning, however long it takes for you to get your instruction and to pray until you feel a release. But if you consistently do that, God is going to start doing things for your family in this day and this hour that He probably has never done in any other generation before Him. And you're going to begin understanding stuff before you see it. You can't get around a God like ours and not begin to perceive things prophetically. Because the moment that you step into fellowship with Him, you stepped out of time into eternity. And you can't help but sense what He's going to do. Let's take it up another level. Father, this morning in the name of Jesus, Father, I know this message has been short, but Father, at the same time, it's also powerful. It's a call to arms. It's a call to the watchman to enter into the kingdom and begin watching and beginning to see not only what the enemy is doing, but what you're doing. And Father, that you are loosing a current of the river of God to empower men to do this like in no other generation before us. Now, Father, give us the grace, we ask, in Jesus' name, to begin entering into that current and to be men that are faithful. Men that are faithful. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,